In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, we are ending, we're going to end Louisa and the Mediatrix of All Divine Life, Part 2. We're going to end that today, and so we're going to begin on the bottom of page 14, just repeat what we went over last time. Jesus says, "So my daughter, be attentive," and this is what he's saying to us: you have to be attentive to what Jesus is teaching us as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. Think that every act of yours is dependent on a divine will that envelops it, informs it, and gives it life. So think of every thought, every word, every deed. Jesus is saying, you have to begin to understand that as the Lord God Almighty breathed into the dust to form Adam, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And he says, think of every act of yours, every thought, every word, every deed, is dependent on a divine will that envelops it, forms it, and gives it life. And because the divine will loves you, the divine will wants that you know the life that the divine will gives you, and this is a confirmation of its acts in you. So God, in to be in God's image and likeness is to enter into this great gift of the divine will. Not to do human things. Not to do things that are separate from God, but to do what God has done. Okay, that's what Jesus says. You'll do far greater things than I. And then he says, you know, in another part of sacred scripture, he tells us, you have to be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect. So there, he says, therefore, content yourself with dying rather than hindering this wanted, even from the beginning of your existence, the act of my divine will. So we have to get to that point of saying, I would rather die than not do and not live in the will of God. And that's what the Book of Heaven is all about. The Book of Heaven is to help us begin to understand that it's a new way of living. This is you look at the apostles after the first Pentecost. You look at the apostles and they were filled with a zeal to live this new way. And it was the apostles and the presbyters, the priests of Israel, were working with the apostles, and the apostles were giving to them what they are called to do. And it's not just, I mean, think about this. It's not just to have the Passover once a year, but to celebrate that Passover. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me, Jesus says, that this Passover is every day. It's to celebrate every day the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This is what Jesus is looking for in us now with this great gift of the divine will. Rather, you be willing to die than not to do an act in the divine will, not to live in the divine will. And then he says this, how beautiful it is to be able to say, I am will of God because it has done everything in me. I am the will of God. Image and likeness. Because the divine will has done everything in me. Every thought, every word, every deed. Do you see what God is calling us to? It's not just to be good and holy and saintly, but to enter into this divine will that Jesus says was even from the beginning of your life wanted by God. So the divine will has created me. The divine will has formed me. The divine will shall carry me in its arms of light into the celestial regions as victor and triumph of the omnipotent fiat of God's love. This is God's love to begin again where Adam left off. We're to begin again to live an abundant life. This is what God is waiting for. And he looks at us And he says, I have chosen you, I've predestined you to live at this time. This is what he tells Louisa. What? To what? To live in the divine will. To live the life that Adam gave up. To live the true life of Jesus, the new Adam. The true life of Mary, the new Eve. And so our God is asking us with great confidence, I have chosen you to live at this time. I predestined you to live at this time. I have given you the book of heaven. Watch what I, the Lord God Almighty, is going to do. You're going to begin to understand what God wanted for Adam and all his children. And even though Adam failed, and all his children then had the original sin imprinted on them, Jesus says, now with his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, with the first Pentecost happening, 2,000 years later, he says, now I've given the world a Louisa who possesses this gift. And because of Louisa and those souls linked to Louisa, they will be able to begin to live this abundant life of the new Adam, Jesus, of the new Eve, Mary, that Louisa possesses. So our Lord looks at us with great confidence and great hope. Again, he knows that we have a free will, and he is going to give us the grace to use our free will, to enlighten our free will, to choose to live in God's holy divine will rather than continuing to live in our human will. And again, our human will, what is that? It's what we say every day when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm tired of this life. I don't want to live like this anymore. And with a firm purpose of amendment, to avoid the near occasions of sin, I'm going to change this way, Lord. I'm with your grace, with your help, this is going to be done. Now, what Jesus has done for us is he said, I want this so much that I'm going to give you the way and the how you can do this. The way and the how to live in God's holy divine will. What does that mean? That means to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. To live a life of heaven and no longer a life of earth. To begin to live an abundant life. How glorious is this? Our God has given us this opportunity to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which the saints couldn't do because they did not have Louisa. They did not have the book of heaven. See, as you read this, as you study this, and I'm hoping that and praying everybody is focused on the calendar. By reading the calendar every day, by the end of the year, you have read all, well, you have read 35 volumes, and the only one that you have to read is volume 1. The reason for that is there was no dates in volume 1, the first part of volume 1, there was no dates. So Jesus is looking at us and saying, I'll give you the opportunity, if you wish, to learn this, to study this, to put this into practice this year. And again, it doesn't mean we will know everything. It's little by little. If we do this for 10 years, every year, read the calendar. By the end of the 10 years, you can just imagine what God is going to be teaching us. Because he expands our capacity every time we read. He expands our capacity so that we can begin to embrace this life, this true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So on page 15, we read in volume 34, 124, 1937, but this is not yet everything. You see what's happening? This is not yet everything. As we read this, God expands our capacity. Because each word that Jesus speaks is a divine life. It's infinite. It's filled with divine love. It's filled with divine light. It's filled with the divine life. And so God is asking us, are you willing to enter into the Word, Jesus, and hear Him? This is what we read on Sunday, this past Sunday. I will send you the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, and He will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything that I have said. That's the book of heaven. And everything that Jesus has said is found in the 36 volumes. That the 36 volumes that He dictated to Louisa. So, Jesus says this. If the divine will does not do complete works, it is not content. Okay, so the divine will has to give you a complete work. Okay? This means that for all eternity, you're going to grow in the knowledge and the love of God and the possession of God. Because that's what the divine will is. To the saints, it was to know, love, and to serve God. To live in the divine will is to know, love, and possess God. To the value of the creation and of a redemption that the divine will has enclosed in the soul, there the divine will adds with incredible love. There the divine will encloses the celestial fatherland and makes resound its glory, its joys, its eternal beatitudes as seal and confirmation of the creative and redemptive work that it has formed in the soul. So our Lord is really wanting us to begin to read this and to study this. So He says, so to the value of creation and redemption, the divine will is enclosed in the soul. It adds its incredible love, and there it encloses the celestial fatherland and makes resound the glory of God, the joy of God, the eternal beatitudes of God as seal and confirmation of creation and redemption that God is forming in us. That's what sanctification is. So the three come together, creation, redemption, and sanctification. And Jesus talks about creation as all the divine I love yous. Every leaf on a tree is an I love you. Every blade of grass is an I love you. Every drop of water is an I love you. Every ray of the sun is an I love you. And this is almost infinite, you know, with all the sands of the on the shore, all these I love yous that are all around us. And He says that He wants us to respond back to God in the rounds of creation with our I love you for every leaf on a tree, for every blade of grass, for every grain of sand. It's this God breathing the I love you and us breathing back the our I love you, which is His now. It's His. He breathes into us His I love you. It's ours, and we breathe back to Him, and it's His. So the Lord is looking at us and He's saying, look at all the I love yous of creation. I want you to possess this. And I want you to thank me with your breathing back this divine I love you, which is mine. You're giving back to God what is God's. And it's the same thing with redemption. In redemption, Jesus says there's more I love yous in redemption than the I love yous in creation. Of what Jesus and Mary have gone through, the new Adam and the new Eve have gone through. All that Jesus and Mary did is greater than all of creation. So we look at redemption as more glory that you can give back to God as Jesus and Mary teach us through Louisa how to do this with our rounds of redemption, to offer back to God all the I love yous that Jesus and Mary went through in redemption. And that is to go through all of creation as well. When we look at the sky, Jesus, look in my looking. I want you to look at the sky again. And I want you, Jesus, to give to the Father through me your I love you. So it's as if another Jesus is on earth giving the I love you back to our Heavenly Father. Jesus, I want you to listen in my listening, to give back to the Father as if you were listening to my listening, all the I love yous of the animals in creation, all the barking of the dog, all the chirpings of the birds. I want you, Lord, to give to the Father your I love you through me. And I want to do this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So everyone is giving back to the Father your I love you, which is perfect. Your I love you is divine. And you're using my voice. The Heavenly Father is hearing all mankind. Give back to him in the name of Jesus. Jesus says, I love you with my voice. Do you see how this is changing the face of the earth? Do you see why Jesus says to Louisa, the whole world is going to change like in an instant, in a blinking of an eye. He says this in volume 24. All of a sudden, the kingdom will be here as if by magic. Why? Because of the souls, because of Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa who are doing this. It's converting. It's transforming. It's transmuting the face of the earth. And now Jesus says sanctification is greater than creation and redemption combined. All the I love yous of creation, all the I love yous of redemption combined is sanctification. We're going to give back to God what is God's, as Jesus did, as Mary did, repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So when you hear of a tragedy, when you hear of a crime, a sin, we say to the Lord, Lord, thank you for showing this to me, number one. Number two, I'm sorry that it happened against you, Lord. The crime is always against God. And number three, I want to repair this and redo this as if it never occurred. You, Jesus, do the repairing in me as you did on the cross. Mary, you do this in me as you did also the repairing standing near Christ crucified. See what's happening in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This is the face of the earth is being transformed. The face of the earth is being transmuted. What's happening at this point? God is repairing in us. We're allowing God to reign in us completely in our senses to repair and redo. And that's the prayer of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your Spirit and we will be recreated. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. God's doing it. And we're just saying, fiat, let it be done to me as you say. We're giving our fiat. And again, it goes into the fiat of creation, fiat lux. It goes into the fiat of redemption, fiat mihi. It goes into the same fiat of voluntas tua, of sanctification that God gave to Louisa, God gave to the church. And through Louisa, as Archbishop Piceri said, it's Louisa's job to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So again, it says very clearly, the resound with divine glory, divine joys, eternal beatitudes, the seal and confirmation of the creation and redemption work that has been formed in Louisa. And this is to be bring about sanctification. Our Lord loves us so much that he's showing us how this is going to happen and why this is going to happen because of Louisa Picaretta. After this, in order to be more secure, it creates there its heartbeat, its breath, and it makes its life, its light circulate more than blood. And as triumphant, it gives Louisa a new name, calling Louisa and the children linked to Louisa, my fiat. That's our name in heaven, you know. That's our new name in heaven. See, what God is asking of us to do is to so surrendered to him, to be so docile to him, to be so submissive to him, that the kingdom can be established. And so God, when we get to heaven, he's going to show us Louisa, and he's going to point to Louisa, and he goes, there's my Fia. Then he's going to look at us, linked to Louisa, and he's going to say, there's my Fia. See, Jesus is asking us to enter into this life, to begin again where Adam failed, to begin again to be in God's image and likeness. Listen to what he says. To be more secure, the divine will creates its heartbeat. The divine will creates its breath. Divine will makes its life, its light circulate more than blood. And is triumphant. It gives Louisa and us a new name. Calling Louisa and us, there is my Fia. Do you see what Jesus is doing? To be in God's image and likeness is not to be in our image and likeness. It's to be in God's image and likeness. So God can say, they have nothing of their own. All they have is everything of me. There is my Fiat right there. Look, there is my Fiat. Because of Louisa, because of the first children of the little children of the Holy Divine Will, Jesus says, here is a new beginning for mankind. Everything's going to be repaired. Everything's going to be redone. And this is where the devil flees into hell with his tail between his legs. Everything that he has done. All the lies and the murders and the hate and the sin that he tricked souls to do was useless. God wins. God wins. And we win with God. And this is why it's so important to be Catholic. This universal life, this Catholic life is what God wants us to live. There's not many religions. There is one religion. The universal life that God breathed into Adam. This Catholic life that God wants us to possess. So that's why it's important to be faithful and obedient to the faith. Why? Adam was disobedient to the universal life. He was unfaithful to the universal life, and the kingdom was taken away from him. The divine will was taken away from him. Paradise was taken away from him. Eden was taken away from him. And now Jesus says, because of Louisa, because of this firstborn, I'm going to give back to mankind what I originally planned for mankind, but it's going to be even greater. That's why on Holy Saturday night we go, oh, happy fall of Adam. Something greater is coming. Something more glorious is coming. This name, my Fia, is the most beautiful name that shall make all of heaven smile and will make all of hell tremble. Do you see what's happening? Louisa is in the image and likeness of God. Louisa has been given the name my Fia. And now Jesus is saying to us, do you want this name as well? Do you want to be like Louisa? Because Louisa is like in God's image and likeness of God. This name, my Fia, is the most beautiful name that shall make all of heaven smile and all of hell tremble. This name that I cannot give except to the soul, the one who lives in my most holy divine will. Jesus wants to give you this name. But you can't receive it if you do not live in God's holy divine will. That means to be perfect. That means to be without sin. Who's there? Louisa. When is this going to happen? Jesus says very clearly, when I find the souls that want this more than anything, I will give it to the world. That means he hasn't found anybody yet. He's looking. He's searching. How do we make the divine will our everything? Well, one way is by reading every day. One way, and I think a good way, is reading the calendar every day. Read the calendar every day. And again, don't be afraid of it. Read it, study it, put it into practice. Watch what God will show you. He will show you how to live the life that He lived. He will show you how to live the life that the Blessed Mother lived. This is magnificent. He says this, "This name, my Fia, I cannot give except to the soul who lives in my volition and has let me do in her what I, God, want." See, what does God want? He wants us to be in His image and likeness. That's what He wants. That means we have to live in our nothingness. Our nothingness is very, very important. To live in our nothingness means to live and allow God to do what He wants to do in us. It's not to strive for what we want in this world, but what God wants. What does God want? He wants what He wanted from the beginning, to breathe into dust this earth. May Your kingdom come and reign in this earth, in me, on earth, as it is in heaven. He wants us to allow Him to breathe in us His life. This is what He wants to do. Remember this. Put on your mirror, your new name in heaven is my Fia, and then strive to become God's Fia. Strive to live in your nothingness. Strive to make the divine will your everything. Strive to let God do what He wants to do. Volume 34, 3, 26, 19, 37. "Now you must know," and again, this is a command from Jesus, "that the creation and my holy humanity are fields where the soul develops her acts, and when she does and lives in my, and when she does and lives in my most holy divine will." So the holy humanity of Christ is important. All of creation shows the I love yous that are all around. But what Jesus has done and what Mary, the Blessed Mother, followed was the life of Christ. The life of Christ was her life. And that's what has to happen to us. Jesus and Mary have to become alive in us. We have to allow Jesus to gaze in our gazing and listen in our listening and speak in our speaking and our act in our acting. We want Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, to reign. Having been given the possession of the divine will, the soul feels the need of circulating like blood in the veins, in the works of her Creator. You know, this reminds me that when Louisa died, for 4 days there was no heartbeat. For 4 days there was no breath. She didn't breathe. But for 4 days after she died, the blood was circulating in her veins, proving the need of the circulation, like blood in the veins, the works of God in Louisa. After 4 days, the doctor said, "She's not breathing, her heart is not beating, the blood is circulating in her veins, she must be dead." And that's something that's so astonishing when you look at her image of her being processed through Corrado in that glass coffin. What you see is you see someone asleep. Louisa, we're going to see amazing things with Louisa. So Louisa wants to know their value of the works of God. Louisa wants to know the good that the works of God do. Louisa wants to know the office that the works of God occupy. Also, in order to love the works of God even more, and in order to appreciate them, and also in order to feel happier, to feel richer by the so many goods that Louisa possesses. See, that's what's going to happen to us. as you continue to read and study and put this into practice, when you go to your room, close the door and pray every day, what happens is you will feel happier, you will feel richer, and you will feel the so many goods that you are possessing because of what God has given to Louisa. You are going to possess them as well, to a greater or lesser degree. I shouldn't say greater. Louisa possesses everything to a lesser degree. But I meant by 30, 60, or 100-fold, you will have an opportunity as much as you want or as little as you want. I pray this very often. I pray that I can know everything that Jesus taught Louisa. I want to put everything into practice. This is what's so astonishing. Our God loves us so much that He is saying, how much do you want? I'll fill you to capacity. I'll fill you to overflowing. Well, what do you want? And our response should be, I want to give up everything, even the holy things, to embrace the divine. And that's what God is looking at us. He's asking us to go to Louisa. And again, read volume 17, May 4th, 1925. Look what Jesus says about Louisa. You know, it's, I will remind you of, the Holy Spirit will come and remind you of everything that I have said. So she said, Jesus says this is why now Louisa comes near the sun in order to know the secrets of its light, the rainbow of its colors, the virtue of its heats, the continuous miracle that it develops on the face of the earth. And only by touching this sun with its light, it vivifies, it colors, it sweetens, it transforms. And again, I took a course, a painting course once, and the professor put on the table in front of all of us a white sheet, and then he put a white vase, a white sphere, a white triangle, a white cone, a white cube, and put a draping of white behind it. And he says, paint it. And he says, but what I want you to do, I want you to see all the colors. Because the white reflects all colors. And so I took him literally. So I was throwing color all over the place. And it was really a riot because at the end of the class, he held up my painting, you know, and he goes, look, he sees the colors. And I'm going, I don't know if he really saw the colors. You said it's all color. So I threw as many colors as I could. It's everything is a reflection of all the colors that are around us. White possesses all the rainbow. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, as you come near the sun, this is the sun of the divine will, you begin to know the secrets of its light, the rainbow of its colors, the virtue of its heat, the continuous miracle that develops on the face of the earth. And only by touching it with its light, it vivifies, it colors, it sweetens, it transforms. That's what Jesus is doing with us. When we are in the state of grace, it's like being completely in white. God, when Jesus appeared, when Jesus was transfigured on Tabor, his clothing was more brilliant than the light of the sun. When Our Lady appeared in Guadalupe, she was the woman clothed with the sun. Jesus wants us to enter into this light. It's not a nimbus of light that surrounds us like a halo. We're supposed to enter into this light to become light, to share in the divinity. That's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass when he puts the drop of water into the chalice filled with wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. You see what's happening? As you enter into the divine will, you begin to know the secrets. You begin to understand the rainbow. You begin to understand the heat, the miracle. This is what God is doing. And then he says this, that develops on the face of the earth. And by touching it with this light, it vivifies, it colors, it sweetens, it sweetens, it transforms the soul. To be what? To be in God's image and likeness. To enter into that light, which is filled. It's not white. It's filled with rainbows of color. And don't ever be afraid of using the rainbow as a sign. The one group uses six colors of the rainbow. The rainbow has seven colors. The true rainbow has seven colors. The false rainbow has six colors. Don't be afraid. You know, what God has given, what hell does is that the flames of hell mimic the light of heaven. See what's there as true. And don't be afraid of it. Don't let those that, you know, want to falsely imitate God make you afraid. No, be firm in knowing the seven colors of the rainbow. The God has got great plans. He says this, and oh, how Louisa loves the sun. How we love the divine will. Because it is hers. And she loves even more God who created it. It's we look at the sun. The sunshine is so beautiful. I live in an area where 200 days out of the year it's cloudy. And my brother lives in the sunshine state. And he says it's eternal summer. God bless him. But what the Lord is looking for us is he wants us to begin to appreciate what he has done. He's showing us with Louisa how she loves the sun, how we love the divine will because it's hers, it's mine. She loves even more God who created it. And see, what God is doing is he's asking us to enter into this abundant life. He's asking us to let Jesus gaze in your gazing. Let Jesus show you the divine attributes that are all around you. Let Jesus show you with the hues and the tones that are all around you, the love of God. When you look at a tree, you look at the leaves, there's all the colors there. It's green, but there's yellow and there's red and there's brown and there's black and there's gold. I mean, it's just, and then in the fall, the Lord has a wonderful time showing us his I love yous. Oh, everything as it's dying. Everything is beautiful, glorious. Even the smells are very magnificent in the fall. In the spring, it's just the flowers, you know, blooming all around you. You just go, my goodness, the Lord has all these I love yous. With every, use your senses. Let God reign in your senses. Jesus, look in my looking, gaze in my gazing, listen in my listening, taste in my tasting. I mean, we want God to reign. And watch what he will do. He says this in volume 36. He says, God made the senses for God. He wants us to see him and to smell him and to taste him and to touch him, to listen to him. Our senses are made for God. And this is what the divine will does. It says very clearly, and oh, how she loves the sun because it's her. She loves even more he who created it. She does the same with all other created things. She wants to know the secret virtue that they contain in order to love them some more and to be in order to be grateful and to love even more God who has given her the possession of them. I mean, everything around you, God has given to you. Everything that's around you is an I love you. We have to begin to hear, see, smell, taste, and touch the I love yous around us. Heaven is I love you. Paradise is I love you. When you go to paradise, when you go to heaven, when you go back to Eden, what will happen is you will be enveloped with divine I love you. You will feel, you will hear, you will smell, you will taste, you will touch I love you from God. You will be overwhelmed by the love of God. Every one of your senses will be filled to capacity with the I love you of God. What are you going to do? Learn now to give back to God His I love you. You breathe it in and you breathe it out. You accept it. Yes, thank you. And I love you with your I love you. Not a human I love you. See, can you imagine paradise? Now, when you go to Corrado, when you go to visit where Luisa stayed for 10 years of her life in the orphanage, and you go out into the garden, listen to what Jesus said. Listen to what he said in volume 26. He said, "This is a simile of the Garden of Eden." Now, why does he say that? Because each of us has a garden. And Jesus says to us, "I want you to enter into the Garden of Eden with your I love you. I want you to begin to experience the I love yous all around you." And that's what he's doing. He's waiting for us to allow him, the Lord God Almighty, to fill you with love with every one of your senses. To fill you. Begin to do this now. See, this is why when you read the 36 volumes, what Jesus tells Luisa, you have to begin to do as well. It's not just, oh, I read it and I live in the divine will. No way. You're not even close. You have to enter into the I love you. And what does that mean? That means you will become like God with the I love you. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. You enter into the I love you of God. Jesus says this, "Therefore there is nothing to marvel that Luisa, the one who lives in my divine fiat, comes to be called the heiress of the whole of creation." That's our title as well. Sons and daughters, heirs and heiresses of the whole of creation. This is what God did for Adam. Adam was the king of the earth. He was to give this kingdom to his children. Christ comes as Christ the King. Why? To give this kingdom to his children. Mary comes as the queen of heaven and earth to give this kingdom to her children. And that's why when you go through in May, most especially the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, Our Lady says, "I want you to possess what I possess. I want you to become children of the kingdom. I need you to become children of the kingdom." Therefore, there's nothing to marvel at that Luisa and the souls linked to Luisa who live in my divine fiat. This is what we want. We want to live in the divine fiat. How do you live in the divine fiat? Use your senses, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your hands. Use your senses to begin to experience the I love you of God all around you. That's how you live in the divine will. To live the way God has originally called us to live. And therefore, we can be called heirs and heiresses of the whole of creation. This is what God has planned. He loves us so much that he needs us to cooperate with him. Why? So that everything can be returned to its original state, its original purpose for us. He loves us with a love that is so magnificent that we are going to experience his I love you with our senses. Just go outside and begin to see the I love yous, to hear the I love yous, to smell the I love yous, to taste the I love yous that are all around you in creation. When you go through the redemption, begin to also experience the I love yous. And then with sanctification, give back to God all the I love yous in creation and redemption. Begin to live this abundant life. This is what God is waiting for. He's been waiting for this for 6,000 years, and he's given it to us. He's asked us to begin to live his life, the new Adam, to begin to live Mary's life, the new Eve. Don't shortchange yourself. Don't think it's nothing less than perfection that God is calling us to. It's to live the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary, which was given to Louisa. So we're at the end of part two. We will begin part three the next time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end, amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.